purposely. Your life, God's purpose. Listen at onpurposely.com.
Welcome to the bonfire. We're wrapping up season 5. We've been talking about prayer, focusing on prayer. And my hope is that you're diving in deeper with prayer, because prayer is communication with God. Prayer is vital. This is a relationship. And when we pray, we both listen to God and we communicate with God. We bring praise. We bring thanksgiving. We actually bring God our burdens because he wants to carry those. We bring him requests. We confess our sins. There's forgiveness. It's God's provision and protection. But this is a picture of coming to God in prayer is something we want to do throughout the day, not just one time or two times, and it's part of abiding with Jesus. Today, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. This might be the most well-known prayer in the world, and it's a prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. Now, let's begin with the prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, just as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That prayer is recited throughout the world. It's a great prayer. It's important when you pray not just to have it be a ritual or rote or going through the motions. And that's why I think it's important to really understand what that prayer means. And as Jesus shared that prayer, there's some key elements that we really want to hold on to. Even when you're not praying that exact prayer, it's going to help us grow in this important area of our lives and in our relationship with God. As Jesus begins, he says, "Our Father." And that's the first thing I want to highlight is this is our. A lot of times when you consider prayer, you might think of your prayer time alone with God. But here we have together, our Father. And Jesus prays with the disciples, praying with other people, not just alone. And you have to do that intentionally, because in America, in the Western world, we're so individual-minded that sometimes we forget the together, the collective. And what happens in terms of spiritual power when we join together, join faith together, and we pray together. Our Father. So as you think about prayer, be intentional. Of course, at church, that's a great time to pray together. Hopefully, you're at a church that prays a lot together. And then also could be in a Bible study, a small group, praying with your family, your roommates, whoever you live with, praying there. Those are all places where you can pray with other people. And then you might want to take some risks. You might know some coworkers that you could pray with. There might be some neighbors that you join in and pray with. There could be some people. Let's say you go on a missions trip, you're praying with frequently, or you're serving in the community. There's a lot of places to pray. There's a lot of people who would be excited to pray with you. And even before meals, you can pray with those people. Just say, "Is it all right if I lead us in prayer? Is it all right if I say a prayer?" And most people are going to say yes. So be intentional, be creative. Remember, pray with other people. It's a powerful way to go deep in friendships too. If you don't pray with someone, the friendship can still be really solid. But when you start praying together, there's a whole nother element that's added in terms of spiritual depth, in terms of God's presence, in terms of seeking God, growing in your faith, really bonding, agreeing in faith together. A lot happens when we pray with someone else. And if you have kids or grandkids, pray with them as well. So it's a prayer of our Father. We pray together and we pray to our Father. This is a relationship. It's not religion. It's relationship. We have a heavenly Father. And when we pray to our heavenly Father, he is good. He is a father to the fatherless. He is always good. His love endures forever. He is faithful. He's dependable. He keeps his promises. So start to focus on your Father. Start to draw near to your Father. That's the heart attitude. That's the posture in prayer that we want to approach God with. Our Father. And then Jesus continues, "Who art in heaven," and then "hallowed be thy name." Hallowed means holy. Holy is your name. We come before his holy presence. That humbles us. It puts us in our right spot. We know we're loved, we're secure, we're in God's family, and yet he is holy. And so as we come to God, we come with reverence and awe. Holy is your name. And then thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Again, the focus is on God. The focus right away is not on us. We are going to share our requests. We are going to talk about our situations. We are going to open up our hearts and share our thoughts with God, even though He knows everything. We will do that. We will make our requests. But the beginning of the Lord's Prayer is about God. And it's about who He is, His character. It's about His glory. It's about His kingdom. That's a great check on all of us when we pray. What's our primary passion? What do we really care about? We want to not make this about us. We don't want to be at the center. We don't want to be on the throne. God is our primary focus, and we live to glorify Him. We live to know Him. We live to serve Him. And let's not be consumed with ourselves. Let's not be self-absorbed. Let's not just be thinking about what we want from God without connecting with God. Now, it's important to note, and this prayer is in Matthew chapter 6. It's in Luke chapter 11, and this prayer, it's not fully written in either of those places, yet both places are full in the sense of the reporting what Jesus said. And they highlight different parts of the prayer. But in Luke 11, I want to share with you, this is the context. And it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Notice Jesus led by example, He inspired, and He was consistent. Do you have a place where you pray? Where you consistently go there, and that's your place where you seek God, that inspires other people. When you're dedicated, devoted, persistent, consistent in prayer, that's what Jesus did. And because of that, when He finished praying, His disciples said to Him, it's like they were just there watching, listening, praying with Him. And then when He finished, they waited, they were polite. When He finished, they said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Part of the discipleship is teaching people how to pray. If you're discipling people, teach them how to pray. And as they were discipled by Jesus, they want to learn how to pray. The Lord's Prayer comes as a response where there's a hunger to pray. And as we're talking about the Lord's Prayer today, I'm just checking your hunger for God, your hunger for His presence. Thy will be done, Thy kingdom, your hunger to see God's kingdom grow. See, this is a passage about having a hunger for God and learning how to pray, not just how we would naturally pray or want to pray, but actually praying in a way that honors God, that aligns with heaven. And the disciples know Jesus is doing that, but they're struggling to do that. And we struggle to pray because we get distracted. And we struggle to pray because we're human. And we struggle with communication. We don't know what to say. And sometimes we struggle with people wondering if they like our prayer or if it was good enough or impressive enough. And we make our prayer about us and we turn it into performance and we're starting to grade our prayers and other people's prayers. And then we're judging others. And it's like, none of that is coming from God. So we've got to reject that, release that, be set free from that. And that's the context here. In Luke 11, they just sincerely want to grow in their relationship with God. They want to learn how to pray. They want to learn how to seek God. And as we learn the Lord's Prayer, as we go deeper in the Lord's Prayer, is that your desire? Because prayer is not just about the words, it's about the desire. And the desire the disciples have here is to grow in their faith. And Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples to pray. And then Jesus said, when you pray, say this. And that's where it begins. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. It's about God's kingdom. So shift the focus in your prayers. Don't start with just your list of things. Don't start with all of that. Start by giving God praise. Enter His courts with thanksgiving. Enter His gates with praise. Start to focus on God. Focus on His kingdom. Just be still before God. Bring reverence. Bring awe. Listen to God. And as you do that, now Jesus, as He continues this, is going to say, give us each day our daily bread. This is an expression of reliance on God. It's an expression of trust. Our Father is our protector, and He's our provider. Give us this day our daily bread. God, You know what we need today. God, You know that we need wisdom. You know we need food. You know we need water. You know we need sleep. You know we need love. You know we need encouragement. God, You know what's most necessary today. And God, we're asking for that. Give us today our daily bread. And it's a request, and it's an acknowledgement, a public acknowledgement and a public prayer of saying, Father, we need you. And that's missing. That spirit of Father, I need you. I was an athlete for a long time. That was my career. And with sports, there's a whole way you present yourself. You don't present yourself with any weakness. You present yourself with confidence. Like, it's game on. Let's win. Let's focus. Like, and there's that competitive piece in sports. Don't bring that to the prayer. In our culture, the trend is self-reliance. In our culture, again, it's humanistic. Prayer is not humanistic. Prayer is a receiving from a heavenly Father who never runs out of his supply. Prayer is receiving the hope and the wisdom from a God who never has a well that runs dry. And to receive, you've got to be humble. You've got to ask. You've got to be able to say, God, I can't do this on my own. I'm in that position all the time. God, help me, I pray, to lead the church. Help me, I pray, to love my wife. Help me, I pray, to lead my children well. Help me, I pray, today, because I'm battling, let's say, with some discouragement, or I'm battling with distractions. And what happens? God fills you with his presence. He fills you with his provision. And that prayer, give us, God, our daily bread, and then forgive our sins. Forgiveness is an important part of the Lord's Prayer, and forgiveness is an important part in our prayers with God. You confess your sin. You don't play games. You don't live a double life. Don't try to hide. Don't try to run from God. God won't turn away anyone with a contrite heart. You say, God, I shouldn't have been saying that. Shouldn't have been thinking that. Shouldn't have had that attitude. Shouldn't have been looking at that. Shouldn't have been, and then you fill in the blank. God, I'm sorry, I want to turn. Repentance, turn 180 degrees. God, I'm going in a new direction right now with your help. God, I want to live differently. And I'm going to get some space from that sin. I'm going to get rid of that. I'm going to get some distance. I'm going to get some accountability. God, forgive us our sins, and we forgive all those who sin against us. When God forgives your sins in Jesus, it's for eternity. All your sins are forgiven. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You're in God's family. You're given a pardon. And yet, we also choose sin. And when we choose sin, we don't lose a relationship with God, but the quality of the relationship, it's affected. And when there's sin, when there's unconfessed sin, it's like blocking, grieving, quenching the work of the Holy Spirit. And to get restoration, there's got to be a revealing. You've got to own what you've done wrong. You apologize to God. You turn from that sin. And then there's a restoration. There's a cleansing. And you receive that forgiveness, and then the same way we forgive those who sin against us. Notice this prayer, because this is an area where so many people stumble. So many followers of Jesus carry resentment and bitterness, and they haven't fully forgiven the other person. And I think a reason why that can linger and continue, and you can carry resentment for weeks or months, is because someone's avoiding the Lord's Prayer. When you pray that prayer, you're making a choice to forgive. Healing is a process, takes a long time in many instances. There's real trauma, there's real pain. I'm not trying to belittle that or rush that process. I am saying that forgiveness is a choice that you make right away to honor God because he's forgiven you. You choose to forgive fully. You get rid of revenge. You let go of resentment, bitterness. Just like if I had my keys and I dropped them, I'm going to drop the resentment, I'm going to drop the bitterness, drop the desire for revenge. All that's in the Lord's hands. And I'm going to forgive. It sets me free. It removes the poison. I step out of the prison. And that's all a blessing from God. It's freedom. This prayer leads to freedom. When you forgive other people, there's freedom. For generations, children and families in the poorest places in the world have struggled to find clean water, food, and a chance for a brighter future. But all that can change in this generation. You can be part of the solution. Go to worldconcern.org. As you participate, this is what will happen. Villages will be transformed far beyond where the road ends, and children and families will receive the love of Christ. You can make a difference. Go to worldconcern.org. Let's be part of the solution together. Lead us not into temptation. God always gives us a way out. God always is faithful. He helps us overcome any temptation. Deliver us from evil. Protect us from the evil one, right? We know there's a battle. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. There's darkness. There's good and evil. There's demons. There's lies. Protect us. Protect the ones we love in this world. Protect us, Lord. And then in all these things, it's for God's glory. You know, yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory. Just coming back to what it's all about. Living for God, worshiping God, trusting God. This prayer, it's not long. There's a lot in this prayer. And the Bible says you don't have to pray really long prayers. Nowhere in the Bible does it say pray longer prayers. Don't fall into that trap of trying to impress people with really long prayers. The Bible says, even from up front, you can keep your prayer shorter. You can keep it shorter. God already knows, so you don't have to give an eloquent speech when you pray. A lot of people feel intimidated by prayers because someone's going prayer like it's a sermon, and then the next person stepped up to pray like, I can't do that. Well, don't. Just do it your style. Just talk how you talk. Communicate how you communicate. And that's going to free you from trying to do it someone else's way. David, when he took down Goliath, they tried to give him Saul's armor, and he said, no, that's not going to fit me. That's not going to work for me. That worked for Saul, but I'm different. You don't need Saul's armor when it comes to prayer. You don't need to try to be just like someone else. You just be yourself. And when you pray from your heart and you're no longer self-conscious and you're not worried about trying to please everybody, you're just talking to God, and the Holy Spirit's going to help. Whoever you are, whatever it's like for you to pray, wherever you get stuck, in those moments, the Holy Spirit helps, interceding with groans that we can't even express. When we pray, we have help. And so all of that reminds us that we come to God, His throne of grace. We come with boldness and confidence because of His goodness, and we spend time with the Father. Remember how it started? Our Father. Not a long prayer, but a heartfelt prayer. A prayer that Jesus shared with hungry disciples who wanted to grow in this part of their walk with God. And as he shares it, he also models it. When you pray, you start to change the culture. When you pray, you inspire other people to prayer. Prayer is caught as much as it is taught. He's going to teach the disciples, but also they're going to pick it up from his life. Like, there's something different about how he approaches situations. He just seems to know when we're supposed to move to the next village and when we're supposed to stay here. He just seems to know who to respond to and what to say and then when to set limits. He just seems to know in every situation with wisdom, he's abiding. He would get away early in the morning. Most people are like, slam the coffee, rush out the door, dive into the day. And I know God can still use you during the day when you do that, but how much more wisdom and peace and non-anxious presence will you have when you slow down and you spend time with God? You know, Mary is in with Martha, and you look at what's happening there. Mary's at the feet of Jesus. Martha's running around everywhere. It looks like Martha's racking up the points for all her service. But no, Jesus says, Martha, you're so concerned about so many different things right now. And look at Mary. She's chosen what's better, what's wiser, and she's at the feet of Jesus. Spend time abiding and lingering with Jesus. And this prayer is a reminder how we come to God, what some of the key elements are. And he teaches his disciples, this is how to pray. It doesn't mean every time you pray, you need to exactly use these words. You can also pray in your own words. You can pick up any scripture and pray from that. You could turn anywhere. So I'm just trying to randomly pick a verse and then how that leads to prayer in the moment. So in those days, Peter stood up amongst the believers. That's what you read in scripture. You could pray, God, help me to be courageous and to stand up in this generation. You see how I just picked a random verse. You see what's happening there. Peter's standing up and he's going to bring a message, and God is going to move through your words. God, guide my words. Give me courage. Help me with a courageous conversation, whether it's one person or many people. Help me to share what you've done in my life. Help me to lead people to you, Jesus. And you just start to pray off of that scripture. Now, the Lord's Prayer lays out. It's kind of a roadmap, and it's a playbook for prayer. It's a great launch point, but that it's not all-inclusive. It's not exhaustive. Doesn't know your specific situation. So you take time to share some of the things that you're going through and then receive from God his comfort, his direction, sometimes his rebuke. You know, when you're quiet and you're still, the Holy Spirit will convict you and say, actually, there's something I want to do here. I want to do some surgery in your heart. I want to shift some priorities. I want to reveal something to you that you're not seeing right now. I want to help you with your attitude and how you're stuck right now. I'm going to help you overcome this trial, and this is how we're going to do it. Here's the plan right here. That kind of download from heaven is so great in prayer. Having that life of prayer, that's what we want to see, you know, individually, also in homes. That's what we want to see for families together. That's what we want to see in churches. God said, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. In the church, we want to see people from all cultures, ethnicities, nations coming together to pray and seek God and worship God together. That honors God. Jesus, when he flipped over the tables, and this is during Holy Week, he came in because why? Yes, they were taking advantage of people financially. Yes, there was corruption. Yes, the religious leaders were full of pride, and there were so many in the marketplace that turned the temple into a marketplace and ripping people off, and all those things were true, but also it blocked prayer, and people didn't have access. And because there was a blockage there, God said, no, this is not how it's going to work in my house. And he flipped the tables because he wanted everyone to come in, no one to get ripped off, but everyone to have access and pray to the Father. And God protects that culture of prayer. God honors that culture of prayer. When a nation prays, God brings healing. When God's people turn from their sin and there's repentance, God brings restoration. It's what we need today. It's really what we need today. And I can't think of anything we need more in the churches, in our homes, and in our country right now than for God's people to pray and be filled with the Holy Spirit and to come together in unity and pray. Prayer and unity, they always come together. And when you think about the Lord's Prayer, and that's what we've been calling it, and this from Luke chapter 11, there's also another prayer in John 17 that is also the Lord's Prayer. This is actually Jesus' longest prayer. People don't call it the Lord's Prayer, but you could, because in John chapter 17, this is the prayer where Jesus prays for us. He prays for the believers who are to come. And he prays specifically for unity, that we would be more united. Again, think of these different places with your family, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with your family. We would be united in church. There's a lot of discord within a church, typically. I'm not thinking of any one individual church. And then there's a lot of division with churches. It's more than just denominations. There's divisions. There's competition. There's a lot of distance when there doesn't need to be. And when you think about that, how is that going to change? But prayer changes things. When we pray together, we unite. If you're married right now and you're struggling in your marriage, I challenge you to do this. Humble yourself and pray. Stop fighting. Stop trying to win it. Stop trying to be right. Just get on your knees, humble yourself before God, and start to pray. In a marriage, when there's no prayer and there's no scripture, things can get really tense. You got two strong people with strong wills going against each other. And what happens? You get stuck until you pray. In the church, if the church is not united right now, if there's not a united vision and passion, start to pray. Start to pray. And when you pray, say, God, take over. Lead us, God. And when you pray, you start to unite. You start to care about the people you're praying with. You hear their heart. You humble yourself. And you start to realize it's all about love. You start to realize God wants this. Unity glorifies God. And without prayer, a lot of times, there's not much unity. Jesus' longest prayer is that we would be united. We would be united so the world would see Jesus in us. That's where people see Jesus, where there's unity. They don't see Jesus where there's strife, where there's stubborn pride. That's not where you see Jesus. The world is always watching followers of Jesus, watching what's happening in the churches. They might not be reading the Bible, but they're reading you, and they're reading your relationships. And when there's a united group, a united team, united in authenticity, united in love, that stands out. It's like, what's going on over there? And when you see unity like that, you see Jesus. The Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, perfect unity, perfect community, united together. And we're made in God's image, which means God's designed us and called us. He's prayed for us to unite. Don't miss that in prayer. Again, how did we start the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, God's people, God's family, coming together to pray, to draw close to the Father, because prayer is relational. Yes, prayer is habitual, but prayer is also relational. It's habitual because you can start to choose a place, choose a time. You can start to pray during the day. And the more you pray, prayer begets prayer. It's habitual, but it's also relational. God's people united, gathered together in prayer is how the church started. They gathered in the book of Acts. Over 100 of them gathering together, all ages, men and women, praying and then receiving the Holy Spirit. The beginning of the church is the DNA of the church. It's the pulse of the church. And when God's people will unite, gather, pray, humble themselves, seek God, and draw close to Him, God shows up and His presence makes all the difference. Prayer leads to more of God's presence. Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer to His disciples so they would grow in their faith. They would grow in their closeness with God. They would grow in their trust, grow in their reliance. And as that happens, the impact of their lives would grow. Because with prayer, it's supernatural power. Don't just settle for what's natural. We need what's supernatural. God has supernatural power and wisdom available to us. And when we pray, God moves. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, He starts to direct us, empower us. And this is a work of God that goes beyond human effort. Don't put all your trust in methods and technology or your experiences or some of the abilities God's given to you. Instead, pray. Pray. Much prayer, much power. Not much prayer, not much power. But pray. And as you pray, God's going to answer the prayers and give God the glory. Prayer is a way that we know it was God who did it. We pray, God moves, we give God the glory. That's the story of our lives. And Jesus is helping the disciples to grow when it comes to prayer. I hope that this season and each of these episodes has helped you take the next step in your walk with God and with prayer. You can go back and listen to some of them, share them with friends. If you know anyone who wants to grow in terms of prayer, share some of the episodes with them and then set a time together. Say, let's start to pray once a week. Let's put this into action. We've studied prayer, now let's pray. The disciples, they learned prayer from Jesus, now let's pray. And that was a huge growing area for them. And even in Gethsemane, you see they're falling asleep. Jesus is still teaching them, don't fall asleep, don't fall asleep. Keep praying. Keep praying and don't give up. Be persistent, be consistent, be intentional. Find some other people who pray with you. You can pray the Lord's Prayer together as a starting point and just let it sink in what it really means, that your prayer is authentic, you're not just going through the motions, and this is all about a relationship. It's all about God's presence and what God wants to do in our lives. Thanks so much for taking time together today as we gather in the bonfire, and then we don't leave the same. We leave prayerful. We want to create a culture of prayer in our homes, in our churches, and in our land. To God be the glory. We'll be right back.